Hi, my name is Promise Kramer, and you are listening to Redivine. This is a podcast where we redivine our lives or find ways to redivine our lives. On today's episode, I am continuing the conversation on womanhood, and we are talking about womanly habits. I hope you enjoy the show, and thank you for being here. So today I'm coming with five habits to cultivate, habits that I have cultivated in my life that have helped me in my journey through my passage of womanhood, that I've seen them landing me into my womanhood, landing me into my feminine side and nature. The first habit I'll talk about is obedience. I know that is not quite a popular word, and we kind of want to get away from that as modern women, but I will urge you to listen or hear me out on this one. I, for one, struggled a lot with obedience. I come from feminists, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, and obedience was just not part of the game. I couldn't be obedient to my parents, really, or to my maker, and nothing and no one else. And I know the problems that I came across because of this habit that I had. And I know the benefits I got when I started changing my outlook or my view of obedience or what is obedience. So in today's episode, we're looking at obedience in a more general sense, but mostly with our maker, with your maker, with God, or whatever greater thing that is bigger than yourself. So giving space to something bigger than yourself, for me, that is the greatest obedience you can have. I know that for myself, I struggled a lot with Christian beliefs or Christian ways. Even though I was raised Christian and come from a very strong Christian background, I still struggle to be obedient to God or to my elders in general, but mostly to God. I couldn't give space for God or anything greater than myself, and when I did, it was still connected to myself. So I would give space to, for instance, like the universe, but I will see myself as part of that universe. So I wasn't really seeing it as something bigger than me. But of course, I had to see that when I really take in the creation and how I'm even here, it can only be arrogance that will think that there's not a grander design or grander energy source that is behind this, a God, and that I don't need to be obedient to, because it's just me, basically. Ultimately, God is part of me, so I am God in a sense. That is a very arrogant way of looking at it, and for a long time, that's how I saw it, meaning I couldn't spend a moment to get some guidance from my creator, from my higher self, some would say, or from the universe, really, because I thought all the answers already lie within me, so technically I don't need guidance. It took me quite a lot to kneel before my maker and to really bow to my maker, and to give thanks, to really be thankful for my life. And that was one of the greatest habits, and it's number one because it was the biggest thing that I had to do that cultivated my feminine side, really. making time or making space for something that is bigger than me, acknowledging and accepting and being okay knowing that I was created, firstly just in the more physical sense, like I'm a daughter of two people, so I came before, I came after people, so I'm small and they're big, and same as them, they are small to their parents and their parents are big. That idea alone and accepting that I'm small and they are big freed me, firstly, in a lot of ways that I was caring for my family, and put me in a position where I could rest as being a child. So also when I connected like that with my creator, with my God, with my maker, with the universe, the higher self, or whatever other name that is out there, with source, with life, and giving it grace and being thankful for life and source and God, and acknowledging this creation that came and that was created and that I found here that is bigger than me, really. It helped me to soften my arrogance and to be more obedient. And that obedience to God bleeded down to my life. Firstly, to my father, my earthly father, that I could show him respect and be obedient to him. And I'm not saying that our parents will always be right and they will always we shouldn't be in opposition to them, or no, but I'm saying not being arrogant and being that small one, the child, and being obedient to them, and loving them in a way that it honors them as your parent, and giving them that honor like he would honor, like I gave that honor to God. It also meant that I, even though some areas of our relationship with my parents are not great, and it meant that I'm able, firstly, to know that there is a heavenly father that I have, there is a God, I have a creator that I can always turn to for guidance, and I can always be guided with them. So even when I feel my earthly parents or my earthly guidance, we are not in alignment, I can always turn to someone else, and I can always seek wisdom from there, and I can always still be respectful as their daughter and still maintain that distance in a respectful way. My second point is presence. So that ties a bit with what I just said, but presence. Present is extremely important in general for everyone, I would say, but mostly for women, and cultivating womanness is extremely important to be able to present yourself, to be able to be aware of what is happening around us. Well, unfortunately, we live now in the world where you can be everywhere and nowhere at the same time through social media. So you can be in all the continents in less than 5 minutes through the screen, but yet not be where you are, not be present at all with where you are. And that is the sad other flip reality of social media, of this connectiveness that we live in. It disconnects us from the present, it disconnects us from what is. And to find pockets of time to be present, it's very important for us to feel ourselves, our emotions, what's really happening, to being aware of our present. It's sad when you would even be in a conversation with someone and they will be still scrolling without any aim or direction, really, just scrolling for the sake of scrolling, and not seizing the opportunity of being in person with someone else, having a real conversation and being present with that conversation and trying to get something out of it, or to give something out of into it, or just to be in the presence of another and to give them that honor, really, of listening and connecting. whether it's with our children, our spouses, acquaintances, friends, family, anyone really deserve to have that presence. Even if we don't agree, they still deserve to have that presence to maybe even get your point across, because you're so present, you can pick up into what's really going on, what is really the underlying issue. I have been cultivating presence for a while now, and it comes and goes. There's some period of times where I'm more present in my life, where I could meditate more. But besides just those specific one where you dedicate presence, but when I'm doing the dishes, I can be present. When I'm working or with my kids and my husband, where I'm more present. And there's times where I am distracted, or I want to distract myself, and usually those are times where I should be more present because I'm more stressed, but I'm running away from something and I'm trying to distract myself from really listening to myself and being present with what is and what is actually bothering me. So the practical way that I remind myself to be present when I see myself being in those periods when I'm running away from something is to wake up early. And I talked about this in the previous episode. I always wake up before everyone in my household, and I sit quietly with my maker. I pray, I read, I journal, which is another wonderful habit to cultivate. But mostly I am present. Usually I'm not on my phone, although lately I have allowed myself, or I've been trying out, to listen to something inspirational for about like 30 minutes or so, because I have quite a long time before everyone else wakes up and before I can start my day. So I listen to something, but it's always inspirational, but mostly just reading a book, praying, growing through what my feelings are, checking in. I usually would ask myself, so how are you feeling? And stop for a moment and really listen if there's anything that's coming up, and not get so caught up in the rambling of the brain, because that can be also destructive. Okay, the next point is being clear. Okay, learning to say no, or being clear when you've reached your limits. As a woman, it is extremely important to learn to say no, to learn to say, to recognize within ourselves that we've reached our limits, whether it's with people or with ourselves. When we've watched too many Netflix and we've reached a limit and we say no to ourselves, we're putting the computer down and we going and taking a shower, doing something else, when we can say no. And that can also be with other people. When people overstep your boundaries, you can say no. And as women, we have this wonderful quality of being more accommodating and yielding, and that can really be great and stuff. But it is also important to be virtuous in saying no, to care about our own limits. When we reach the limits, when we our boundaries are being crossed, to be able to calmly but firmly communicate that our boundaries are now being crossed and we've reached the limit. This is extremely important when you want to cultivate womanness, because it helps people learn how to be with you or how to treat you. And also it kind of programs you to be aware of how people treat you, but also to be able to put yourself first in terms of how you're feeling and how you would want to be treated. So the next point, it will be self-care, and that also ties with saying no. So saying no, it's also part of self-care. So with self-care, I'll be making another recording specifically on self-care. Self-care is quite important and enjoyable for me as one of my womanly habits. So whether it's making time to do my own nails or get my nails done, going through my wardrobe and realizing, what do I really want to look like? Does this still fit? And taking time really to plan out my outfit or how I want to wear for the week, making that time. Body. taking care of my body thoroughly, whether that's, you know, facials or whatever that my body needs, getting a massage, etc., and being aware of what my body is carrying and beautifying myself, really. Part of self-care. And I think as women we all absolutely enjoy that, but at times, when especially when you work from home, you're a new mom or you with kids, we tend to put this aside, like our how we look, our appearances and stuff, we tend to put it aside as part of self-care. But it is a very important part of being a woman, to take care of ourselves. Other aspects of taking care of yourself will be journaling, but as I've already said, that is part of presence, but journaling definitely is part of taking care of yourself. Writing down your feelings, and I know people talk a lot about journaling, but because it's really helpful to journal and to track how you're feeling. Another part of self-care, I would say it's to be aware of your menstrual cycle and to embrace it. To not see it as this annoyance that you have to go through every single month, but to use it as a guide as to how you are feeling. Because we as women are designed in a way that we can track our feelings through this beautiful cycle that we have. And pre-menstrual phase, we tend to have all those emotions and all those guidance that our body is trying to bring out. So we need to listen to our body as part of self-care, and to track our emotions through our menstrual cycle. And my last point, or my last habit, is being creative. Now, this is quite broad, but I thought I have to put it in here because I believe as women we are extremely creative, and unfortunately we find ourselves never nurturing this quality really through our work. But creativity is so vast, and it can be so many different things. For me, it is with my kids when I'm creative with how we're gonna play. Creative when I create products. I make skincare products, hair care products, and it started as a creative outlet that I have now formed, that have became a business. But I still do it out of passion and love, and I love creating all this concoction. Another thing is that I am learning, or trying to learn, how to sew, and that is so beautiful. Cooking is a form of creative outlet. I look up recipes and try and cook Michelin star kind of meals. And I'm not saying I succeed, but I still try, and my family love my creation of meals. It can be anything. It can be learning to sing, to dance, to play piano, and being creative, finding pockets to be more creative in our lives and to cultivate that creativeness. Yeah, so that is the 5 habits that we can start to cultivate. And I'll just go through them again. We talked about presence, we talked about obedience, and we talked about being aware when we reached our limits and saying no. And we talked about self-care and being creative as the last pointer. Now, I hope that there was something for you in this recording. And if there were, I'm really grateful. Thank you for being here and for listening. And remember that this is a journey. It's a slow-paced journey of going through womanhood and cultivating it fully. It is a life process. There's no goal that you must reach this then you'll be done. They'll forever be evolving, or how we are as women. So patience and giving ourselves grace is very much important in this journey. I wish you all the best and may God bless you. Have a good day.